All right, so give us an overview right now as things stand on what we know about pay and benefits and what Congress is looking at today.
Sure. Well, the debt limit deal that the House of Representatives approved last night, and which is likely to be approved by the Senate today around noontime, I think that probably the chief thing that federal employees are going to have to be concerned about are the discretionary spending caps for the next 10 years. And of course, discretionary spending is the side of the budget that has to do with the day-to-day operation of the federal government. So, you know, while it's not as bad as some of the legislation that would require, you know, a 10% cut in the federal agencies to make some strategic decisions in terms of how they can reduce their salary and expense accounts to make do with the allocations that are going to be provided to their agencies. So that's going to be challenging across the government. But in terms of some of these things that you talked about at the top of your show, whether it's requiring federal workers to pay significantly more for a smaller retirement or changes to require them to pay more for their health insurance or reducing the cost of living adjustments that are paid to federal annuitants. None of those things, fortunately, are in this package that is being wrapped up today. This is only the first bite at the apple. The second bite at the apple will come this fall when the so-called supercommittee of 12 members of Congress convenes, and they're charged with cutting an additional $1.5 trillion in the budget. And we're concerned that a lot of these proposals that I've just talked about, that have also been discussed by the senators of the Gang of Six, the Blair House group led by Vice President Biden, as well as a lot of the proposals that were in the Fiscal Commission report last year, that all these things are most likely will be on the table for consideration by this committee.
So what sort of advice then would you have for folks in the federal government as they start trying to look into their crystal ball and figure out the long-term impact on feds when it comes to this deal?
Well, I guess I would say it's very uncertain at this point. If they want to be proactive and do something about it, then they need to become advocates themselves and join organizations like NARF to be part of the process to fight back on some of these things, to exercise their rights as American citizens and to talk to their lawmakers about preventing these things from happening, and also, you know, reminding the American public of the extraordinary work that they do daily as federal workers, and that if you make these kind of cuts, you're asking for a second-rate government. So there are always, you know, consequences for doing these kind of things, and that's part of it. But I guess in terms of their own, in addition to them being involved in the legislation and being activists, I think that they need to revisit their own finances. As kind of the premise of your show today is that, you know, the one place where you have a lot of control is your thrift savings plan account. And, you know, to review, you know, to what extent are you taking full advantage of the account? I mean, all federal workers at the very least should be contributing 5% of their salary to their TSP to ensure that they're at least getting the most out of the government employer match. But beyond that, you know, to think about, you know, whether they're giving, you know, if possible, if you have the means to do it, to give up to the limits that are in law right now, whether that's the limit before year 49, which is up to a little over $16,000 a year, or if you're in the catch-up phase beyond 50, where you can contribute an additional $5,500 towards your retirement. Because, you know, at the very least, what you have in that account cannot be taken away. Now, the government, through some of its proposals, may at some point decide that it wants to reduce the government match, but that account's yours, and it's not part of the budget once that money is put into your thrift savings account. And so that's one way that you can be proactive in terms of securing your own retirement.
And by the way, speaking of the TSP, with the agreement that looks like it's headed toward passage and signature by the president today, looks like everyone's mitts are going to be off the G fund accounts to tide over the government in the short term.
That's right.
Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think that there's been, you know, it's not just the G Fund, but also the Civil Service Retirement and Disability Fund. Both of these have been used as cash management tools by the Department of Treasury to prevent us from a default. I mean, we would have had that not happen, we would have defaulted way back in May. And so both the G Fund of the TSP and the Civil Service Retirement Disability Fund have been used to prevent a default. But now through the operation of what's called the make-whole provision in Title V of the U.S. Code, that at this point the Treasury is required to make both funds whole with back interest, and annuitants who depend on their annuities from the Retirement Trust Fund, as well as recipients and the participants and beneficiaries of the G Fund and the TSP, they will not lose a dime as a operation of this, of using their funds as a cash management tool, and now the Treasury Secretary is required to make those funds whole with back interest.